Toys for Tots Friday here on RBKD. Today on the show, we got a short one, so we got to get into it. The Cowboys get the W over the Saints. We'll get into all that. Things maybe heating up with Gary Patterson. We've got a great off the record. Brian Kelly, he's assimilated so quickly to Louisiana. He went from DV High, then went to DBU, somehow ended up in Detroit. He is in more private clubs than a swinger. He's as open-minded as anyone you're going to meet, yet doesn't like white food. He's a football theorist. He's an All-American. He is Rod Babers.
And my co-host, he's a lifetime Longhorn, but first, a lifetime Austinite. A conservative liberal who doesn't discriminate, which is why his dating history looks a lot like a commercial for the Rainbow Coalition. He was a reality TV star before Urban Dictionary was a thing. And yes, he's only got one ball, but more testicular fortitude than you or your whole team. He is my co-host, the estimable Kevin Dunn. What's going on, brother?
Doing great, man. Always good to be at Total Men's. We're at Total Men's Primary Care, Anderson Mill in 620. And this is it's a short show, but please get on out here if you have some time and if you have some toys, because we're doing Toys for Tots. That'll last until December 12th,
Unwrapped toys. I know if you got some toys you want to just donate, we appreciate that.
How about Frogger right here?
Yeah, that's someone you could I believe Tom McKay is the one who brought it.
Wow.
Tom McKay just got,
man.
I mean, around this year, he basically turns into Santa Claus. He's already got a big heart. He's always doing, you know, nice stuff around Central Texas. But around this year, yeah. I think it's a little gratifying from him, too. He's got a big kid in him. All right, he's got the
very much
can
so.
Satisfy that kid everybody's got within themselves a little bit and go do some toy shopping and all for a good cause. So, Toys for Tots, not just at this Total Men's location, at all the Total Men's primary care locations.
December 12th, so that's going to go on until then, and we're going to be out here, though, 620 in Anderson Mill. Beautiful day, taking you all the way up until 5:30. That's when we have Texas basketball pregame, and the tip will be at 6 o'clock. We got koozies, we got Demetrius, we got Derek. Beautiful day outside, man. And Cowboys fans probably feeling a little bit better right now, Rod.
Well, they should be. I mean, if you'd have lost that game, considering what we – and it's not that – it wasn't that off. At least the New Orleans Saints offense wasn't that far off from what we had predicted on the show, that it was going to be a mash unit and they were going to be pretty one-dimensional. And that one dimension was going to be whatever – offense they can churn up with Taysom Hill. It turns out Taysom Hill hasn't really developed that much as a pocket passer, so it was just Taysom Hill on the ground as a rusher, which made him easier to defend. And then, of course,
that brought back memories, though.
It did bring back memories. Yeah, you're right. But that wasn't Texas defense, so they were able to they were able to put him in positions where he had to throw the ball. And those few times that he threw the ball, he did have some success early on. But the Cowboys forced him into making bad decisions, and they forced 4 turnovers in that game. That's pretty much to me. That is the story of the game. Was the Cowboys defense, Cowboys offense? If you're a Cowboys fan, you're probably still a little stressed about the offense.
Yeah,
the defense. Once again, they're top 5 in forcing turnovers. That's their identity. That's one thing they've been doing well all season long.
It was not great quarterback play, and certainly not from Taysom Hill, who was just awful. he was 19 of 41 with the 4 picks.
That was bad.
Including the pick 6 for the clincher. Did average 9 yards actually carrying. Get back to Rod's point. Saw some little Jordan Humphrey.
That was nice. Good to see little Jordan Humphrey out there?
Good to see him out there.
It was good to see him out there, man.
But this whole experiment and whether Taysom Hill, and I understand they've got injuries, so, I mean, Jameis Winston was your starter. Trevor Siemian wasn't playing very well. But this whole experiment of him trying to be a real NFL starting quarterback, he's not, Rod.
No, he did get hurt. He did hurt his hand.
Yeah.
Right? At one point in the game. And as Longhorn fans know, from Casey Thompson, which we'll get to that story a little bit later on, there was some photos leaked out of Casey Thompson's thumb.
Thumb.
So some photos leaked out. And, yeah, I mean, that can really, debilitate your game if your thumb is, especially for a quarterback. And I know one of his digits, I don't know which one, but one of his digits, they all work in unison, right?
Right.
In terms of throwing the football. So there's but I'm with you. I'm not saying that's the reason that, he was totally off. No. He's not
a starting quarterback.
He's not a franchise quarterback in the NFL.
He's not. And it's because he can't throw. And I'm not saying that you don't use him and have him as some type of a package, which is kind of what they were doing with Drew Brees for years. I think that's the way to go. I think he's a valuable guy. I mean, you only have 53 on the roster. He can play special teams. He can do a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. And maybe in a pinch he can come in. But last night, I just continued to show that he's not going to be that long-term guy. Yeah. We saw Zeke with 13 carries. I actually thought we'd see Pollard with the bulk of the carries. He had 7, but then had the 58-yarder. Tony Pollard, you know, they actually were able to get the ground game going, considering when you looked at their rushing attack and the Saints' defense, I didn't think they were going to be able to run that well.
Six a carry. I mean, Pollard with that big run, that big chunk yardage run,
helps.
I mean, it helps a lot. I mean, well, they got to get the ball in his hands more, and I'm not saying – you know, that Zeke can no longer be the focal point of the running game, not at all. But I do think they need to find ways to feature Tony Pollard more. I mean, he's explosive. He's one of those guys, we talk about it with, you know, the DeJay Johnsons of the world. And here we, you know, here at Texas, we talk about a Keelan Robinson recently. But there are some guys, you know, you just got to give them 4, 5, 6, 7 touches. And one of those, they're going to pop. Now, a couple of those, they'll probably end up losing yardage or getting no gain or something like that. But certain guys, they have that game-changing ability. Pollard is definitely one of those guys. And he's been like that for a while, too. I think the Cowboys are just starting to kind of understand that he can be a guy that can help you, give you another dimension to the running game.
Well, he's more explosive, or at least has been the last couple of years. Zeke looked really good, but you can tell Zeke is
wearing down.
He's
early.
Wearing down.
Yeah.
And so Pollard's going to have to be that guy. It's good to see CeeDee Lamb back. Amari Cooper had a couple catches.
CeeDee Lamb looks... Does he look extra twitchy right
yes,
now? Like, what is going on?
He's a freak.
Right? He looks faster right now.
I know what you're saying. I'm glad you said that. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
he?
It's like extra twitchy.
It's like, what is happening with CeeDee Lamb? I'm with you, man. He is. Maybe it's just because he's understanding the game now and understanding that offense more. He's more comfortable in it. So maybe he's just moving at a faster speed, but it looks like it. The film, Eye in the Sky, Don't Lie. That dude is on another level. Explosivity-wise,
right. So yeah. Cowboys go to 8-4. What'd you take from their offensive line, and then also what'd you take from Dak?
Yeah, I mean, the offense is still out of sync, right?
That's, it's not that's fully
the
going.
The passing game, yeah, there's something off about it. Some people saying it's Dak, and it could be, you know, Dak still dealing with injuries, but I'm not sure exactly what it is right now. I think once – because this is the first time – we talked about this yesterday. First time all season – you had all three of your top wideouts available, and Tyron Smith and Zach Martin. All right? First time. And I expected, oh, man, that first touchdown, was that the one of Michael Gallup?
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate
thank
that,
thank you
man.
Very much.
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate someone who's listening, listens to the show, and stopped by.
Brought a toy with him,
yep.
Too. So very kind. I really appreciate that. But, yeah, I expected that. I was like, oh, man, this is going to be a blowout. I just expect that offense to keep clicking. Now, granted, the New Orleans Saints defense is legit. Like, that's a legit defense. I mean, it's one of the best. It's a top five rush defense, but overall, it's one of the better defenses in the league. So I'd expect them to just kind of run roughshod over New Orleans. But, man, I expected more offensive production. I mean, if not for the fourth, you had one pick six in the game.
Yeah.
To kind of add to, I mean, so the offense, I mean, I know the score would indicate, yeah, I mean, they scored, 27 points, but, I mean, 7 of those came from the pick six. And then you had the turnover. They should have scored more points off turnovers, too, because they had 4 of them.
Yep. No, agreed. No, actually, this game is closer than it should have been.
Way closer than it should have been.
Now, they did cover, so my man Rod continues with his streak there.
Yeah. What was it, 6? What was the number, 6?
6.5.
Ah, yeah, that's easy. Considering what New Orleans was missing –
you know, if you just would have put your money where your mouth is with the Cowboys all year, you could have supplied the toy drive.
I probably could have. You too, though, with the college
yeah,
pick.
That's so true.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, we gotta talk about that. We need to talk about that. But I will say this about the Cowboys, though. That defense, man, it is with Michael Parsons there, it is just it's a playmaking defense. I don't even know if it is a solid, well-built all-around defense.
I think you're hitting the nail on the head.
It just
and also on the back end, Diggs takes chances. So they can get beat.
Exactly.
But they're going to make some plays.
They're going to make plays. And that's supposed to be a great formula and recipe for a really dynamic, prolific offense like the Cowboys, right? It's like Big 12, just extra possessions. Extra possessions, we're going to score a lot of points. We're going to be a top 3 to 5 scoring offense. And that's the recipe. That's how we win games. And the defense is doing their part. I mean, they're getting extra possessions for the offense. Yeah, they're putting points on the board for the offense. I think more is expected of the Cowboys offense, especially when you're getting all of that full complement of weaponry for Dak. And maybe it's Dak, maybe it's play calling. You know, some people want more balance in the offense, and the Cowboys are too pass happy. The running game has not been clicking, that is for sure, the last 5 weeks.
Yeah, now. Got going a little bit last night, but it wasn't overly consistent.
No. Yeah, they got that big run. I mean, like you said, average, what, 6 yards a carry?
Yeah.
So hard to say they didn't have the running game going. But it's been inconsistent.
But they had in the last couple weeks, and that has been a problem. And some of that goes with the offensive line. As you said, the offense just in general hasn't felt fully in sync.
I heard somebody say it since Connor Williams has been out. Running game has suffered a little bit.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that's true.
Maybe 4 or 5 holding penalties a game's okay. Maybe that's the lesson we take out of this. No, I love Connor. I think it was very lazy for people just to look at the penalties and say, oh, he's playing awful. The penalties is not good, and I understand why they pulled them. But he was actually playing pretty well when he wasn't holding.
No, I mean,
Pro
Football Focus said that he actually is playing pretty well. But, I mean, that's just some random observation. But that, I'm not saying that is the reason at all. But the running game definitely is inconsistent right now.
Micah Parsons with another sack. What is that, 10 on the year now?
Man, this dude, yeah, and he's on pace. I love this stat because there are just freaky Micah Parsons stats out there, and I love them. How about this one? First player with at least 70 tackles and 10 sacks through his first 12 games since James Harrison did it in 2010. And he's on pace for over 100 tackles and 14 sacks in a season. The last player to do that was Bruce Smith in 1993.
Wow.
Freaky Parsons stats, man. I love him. Like, that dude is... And congratulations, Cowboys. I mean, I do.
Do you remember Bruce Smith? Remember how good he was?
Oh, I remember Bruce Smith. Oh, yeah.
I mean, there were two guys when we were growing up that were defensive ends. Mm. Now, Derek Thomas would have been an outside guy,
Kansas
obviously,
City.
Bama
yeah.
in Kansas City, right?
He was a beast.
And much more of a Lawrence Taylor type.
Yeah.
But in terms of straight defensive ends, you had Bruce Smith and Reggie White.
Yeah.
And that was always the talk, who's better?
But
those guys were Hall of Famers. We knew it as they were playing. They were dominant players. So when you start bringing up names like that, Rod,
I remember him.
It tells you what Parsons is doing right now as a rookie.
As a rookie. That's the thing
position.
About it. We're talking about as a rookie.
I don't think he has a position. I don't think he can be.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I tell you what, you line him up at the corner, he's out of position.
Well, he's a 4-3, so
maybe not.
He can run with the wide outs. I don't know if he has the hip flexibility, but man, he is. He's a freak, and yeah, he should be in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. I don't know if what the odds makers are saying, but I think he should be in that conversation. And once again, Trevon Diggs. I mean, he's just. I played with guys like that. I played with Nathan Basher. There are some guys, they have a God-given knack, sixth sense for the football, and they seem to find it, or it finds them, whatever it is. He's one of those guys. Now he's got 9 picks. So the all-time Cowboys record in a single season is Everson Rawls with 11 in 1981.
That's in front of him.
I mean, he can easily hit that.
He's like an NBA team, too. He goes on spurts.
He does.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he does. Because he had a dry spell.
We'll get 3 in 2 weeks.
Yeah, you're right. He had a dry spell for like 2 weeks in a row. But, no, man, they have playmakers at every level. And you talked about it before. I mean, the safeties are making plays, too. Jerron Curse.
Yeah.
Has played well for them all season
long. Curse got one. Watkins obviously got one.
And that was a kind of a play. And Kazee.
I think you hit the nail on the head, though. That team's going to be, and that's how they're going to have to advance once they get to the playoffs, because they are going to the playoffs, is they got to be – they're going to give up some plays. They got to be making plays. They got to be turning the ball over, and then offensively, they're going to have to get some explosivity back.
Yeah, and I think – I mean, it's there.
It's there. It's there.
It just seems right now that it's erratic, right? They should be a more dominant offense. They should be more formidable. I remember the word I used early on in the season was adaptable. That they could adapt to almost any situation the defense would put them in. It was almost a pick your poison for the defense. Like, what are you going to take away? You're taking away our wideouts? Okay. We're just going to run it down your throat because we got the ability to do that. We got two dynamic backs. And if they wanted to try to stop the running game, then okay, you're going to play man-to-man against potentially the best wide receiving core in the league. Also, pick your poison with that. They don't seem to have that adaptability as they did early on in the season. Maybe because teams – they've adapted to the Cowboys.
Yeah.
They're watching film, too, and that's on Kellen Moore. If we're talking about a schematic.
Boy, Moore was pissed on that 3rd and 5 where Dak overshot it late in the game.
Ooh, a CD? CeeDee Lamb one, when he goes across the formation, underneath, I should say, right there.
But you could tell Moore was like,
that was a great.
He's trying to compose himself. He's like, all right, let me go talk to
great
him.
Great play design.
It really was.
A great play because CeeDee was wide. Honestly, you could argue CeeDee might score.
Wide. Definitely getting the first down.
Definitely getting the first down, but he might score considering him in open field.
All right, so at Washington, that'll be they get an extra, you know, a couple extra days here, which will be good, and they need that because Amari Cooper, there was reading today that is obviously his conditioning wasn't what it was before he went out, so, you know, hopefully he can get that back, be 100%. It'll give you time to rest Zeke. Just try and get as healthy as possible for what should be the next three games, a good run here. We've talked about two of those are Washington. They're at Washington, at the Giants, and then they get Washington at home. Rod, we looked at the Saints game and those three games and said they got to at least be 3-1, but they should be 4-0, and they're off to that start.
Yeah, don't sleep on Heinicke, though. They better be ready to go because he's kind of like the Cowboys defense. He's not great or high level, but he's a playmaker.
He'll make some plays.
He finds ways to make plays with his legs, and he's actually, you know, not Taysom Hill. I mean, he actually can make plays with his arm from the pocket, too. We saw that in the playoffs last year. So I'd be concerned about that if I was the Cowboys, but I think the Cowboys should go 3-1 at worst in this stretch. And if not, then Cowboys got bigger issues. How about this? City of Austin seems to be one of the fastest growing cities in the country. We know that. More people moving to Austin now is bad news, I guess, if you hate traffic. But it's really good news if you're a homeowner, because more people moving to Austin means property values remain at record highs. All right, everybody's buying homes, and right now the demand is outpacing supply, turning greater Austin into a seller's market. According to the Austin Board of Realtors, in the month of October, the median price of a home in the metro Austin area was upwards of $455,000, and the average home spent only 20 days on the open market in October. So whether you're looking to sell now or later, you can instantly see what your home is worth right now at opendoor.com/KTXX. You can get a competitive cash offer on your home within days. If you like the offer, you can sell directly to opendoor.com. No prep work or showings are required. Just answer a few questions, complete a contact-free video walkthrough, and you can do this all online in a few easy steps at opendoor.com/KTXX. I visited myself, opendoor.com/KTXX, just curious what our home was worth in this current market, and I was blown away by the offer from Open Door, and you will be too. Offer eligible various Open Doors represented by Open Door Brokerage Incorporated, license 02061130 in California, Open Door Brokerage LLC in its other markets. That's opendoor.com/KTXX.
It's RBKD. We're at Total Men's Primary Care, Anderson Mill, 620. We're going to be out here till 5:30. It's Toys for Tots, and you can stop by any Total Men's and Primary Care, and you can drop off a toy, unwrapped toy, if you have one, a new toy. And we've already had a lot of people stopping by, so the box is starting to fill up, but we can't get enough of those. A couple other things. Hey, we got ice racing Saturday night at the HEB Center. We are going to be registering people if they want to go to that. ATVs on ice.
Man, I got to tell you, first time I've ever heard of this before.
I know. I'm curious,
I don't know how,
man.
This is relatively
Natalie
new.
Natalie sent the email. I'm like, what is this?
It sounds cool. It sounds like something that would be the plot of some futuristic sci-fi movie, ice racing,
right?
But no, it's the real deal. I heard them talking about it on B&E this morning. They had a guest on this morning who was talking about it. Yeah, and it's actually, I mean, it sounds kind of dangerous, but dangerously cool.
It sounds cool.
It sounds really cool. So, mate, try to describe it almost like you said. Describe it as chainsaws on ice.
Yeah, I was like, what?
Like almost as the wheels. I mean, it is fascinating. So, that's something really cool that you and the family, I know the kids would probably be interested in it. So it's at the HEB Center tomorrow night, ice racing. We'll talk more about that and give you some more details on it later on. But that's something really, really cool.
Also, shout out to actually our guy right here, Derek Cohen, but also Jason Nasur and Alec Cohen, because the little Shaps, the rookie Shaps, are going to be going to Florida and playing in a national, like the national, was it national, is it Super Bowl of Little League pretty much? And I think Snoop Dogg's team's going to be out there.
Snoop Dogg's team.
Wanted to give those kids a shout out. They're going to be missing three starters, and they're going to be very, very outsized. But that's really cool that they got all that way. I think it's only the fourth team since 72 or 73 to actually do that from this area. So pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, so Derek actually is hanging out with us, and he's going to be heading to Florida to go do that. Obviously, we got high school football tomorrow. We got Texas basketball tonight. It is going to be a busy weekend. And there's a level of sadness, and I'm feeling it right now. I love college football so much, and you know that this is it. This is that last weekend, and I just got to eat it up. And it starts tonight, man.
You got the bowl season.
You got the bowls. I know.
You got the
bowl season. I know. You're right.
You got your college football playoffs. So it's not officially
it's
over.
It's not officially over. You're right about that.
Yeah.
But in terms of the schedule we have, we're Saturday. You just sit there and watch ball and watch it all day long.
No, I'm with you. It went by really quickly.
God, it flies by. Every single year, it feels like it flies by more.
Yeah.
And that's also why I try not to say, hey, we're halfway through. Don't be that guy with half of the vacation left talking about how you're already disappointed you're going to be going home. Enjoy the rest of the trip.
No, but even when it's miserable, which it was for Texas fans, still flies by. You just say time flies when you're having fun. Still flies, even in college football season, even when your team's bad.
Yeah.
It wasn't a slow season, even though Texas was terrible.
No. I mean,
it went by quickly. Flew by.
Six games.
Right?
Flew by pretty quickly. You're right about that.
Even those losing streak kind of flew by in retrospect.
In a depressing way, but did fly by. All right, final thoughts here on Cowboys. You got to be happy if you're a Cowboys fan that they got back on track. You got three games in front of you. You can win, and you got Arizona coming in 3 weeks.
Yeah. 4 weeks. I mean, I think Cowboys at this point, you know, they're kind of a one game at a time team until they get back on track early on in the season when they were on that run. I think that was some talk that, hey, man, the Cowboys could be one of the better teams in the NFC. And I still think they have that capability at this point. No need to discuss that, right? Because even if we're talking about them in the NFC, in the overall hierarchy, they're probably, what, fifth right now, in my opinion? Fifth?
Probably right around there.
Right around there, right? In the NFC, if you're throwing it out there.
So, how would you rank the NFC right now?
It's going to be Arizona or Green Bay up there at the top.
They're
right?
1-2 in whatever order
it's
you want to
go be,
with.
Yeah, it's 1-2 with those guys. I'm going to say that after those
Tampa Bay.
Yeah, it's got to be Tampa thrown in their third. I was going to see if somebody else, but no, it's got to be Tampa. Yeah. And then I guess you could argue that the Cowboys are there, but then you also could argue, what's Minnesota? What's their record?
Minnesota's 5-6. I think the Cowboys would be next. The one that you would argue record-wise would be the Rams. The Cowboys are in better shape than the Rams. The Rams feel like they're falling apart.
The Rams are falling apart.
By the way, OBJ probably not going to play.
Yeah.
Or he's not practicing, so they're not totally sure about that.
Yeah, the Rams are in a bit of a tailspin. I don't know what's going on with the Rams.
They are.
I love everything about the Rams, but I can't really describe what's happening.
This team was 7-1.
I mean, they were rolling.
Three-game bender here.
And, I mean, that game last week, they were competitive on the road at Green Bay, though. I will say that. That game probably could have gone either way, so we'll see. I got to look at their schedule and see what they got next. But, yeah, the Rams are probably right there with the Cowboys. It's probably tied. Probably take the Cowboys over the Rams, so you're right, at 4. And then the Rams at 5.
And then would you say Kansas City and New England are your top AFC teams?
Yeah, man, New England versus the Bills will be a nice test.
That will be. That's going to
be
fun. It's going
to be a good test this weekend. A lot of people picking the Bills. A lot of people saying
that.
Basically this Patriots run has been overrated. If you break it down,
on bad teams.
Pretty much, especially the road teams that they play, that they've been bad teams. But we'll see. I mean, the Bills will be a really good test. I think the Patriots are legit.
Patriots-Bills will be Monday, and that'll be the Monday night game.
Yeah.
Buffalo favored by 2.5.
So, that's at Buffalo, right?
At Buffalo.
Yeah. Okay. Now we got time to talk about that one.
Yeah, we do. We'll see what the weather is like. We don't have a ton of time, though, to talk here, so we're going to try and get everything in. We're going to be out at 5:30.
That's right.
We're at Total Men's Primary Care. Get on by here. This place is awesome. You get in.
It is awesome.
You get out. It's just the idea of this was so smart, especially for men. Sometimes it can be tough to get us there. And when you tell us that it's going to be quick and they're going to have snacks and you're in and out, okay, that's how I can do it. But they're really good at what they do. So you got COVID testing, any of that stuff. Maybe you just need a checkup. And while you come by, please, Toys for Tots, new unwrapped toys only. And this is going to be running through, it is December 12th, I believe.
I believe you're correct.
All right, so get on by here. We're at 620 and Anderson Mill. It's Rod. It's Kevin. We got Demetrius here. We got John back at the studio. And up next, we will continue to talk a little ball. Things are heating up with Gary Patterson. We got a story out on that. Sounds like that could be a real possibility. Also, some top-ranked players in the portal. This is RBKD on the Horn.
No more loneliness, only happiness. Love's gonna live here again.
Thank you.
Welcome back to RBKD. It is Friday, a country music Friday edition of RBKD, but also a very special RBKD because we are out looking live here at Total Men's Primary Care at 620 and Anderson Mill, and we are having the Toys for Tots drive. They're going to be having this actually throughout, I think the December 12th is the date, but at all of their Total Care, Total Men's Primary Care facilities, you can have Toys for Tots. All you do is drop off an unwrapped toy to any of the Total Men's Primary Care places here in Central Texas, and you can help out one of the kids here, or one of the children, or one of the families, I should say, here in Central Texas that may need it. My man Tom McKay dropped off a Frogger arcade game.
That is awesome.
Like, this thing is huge.
Props to Tom.
Like, I mean, this thing is, it is gigantic.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, it can't fit in the box.
It's actually being used
to open up the door.
Yeah, it cannot fit in the box.
It's a doorstop. That's how big it is.
Shout out to Tom McKay. Carrie came through. She brought some toys as well, so we appreciate that. We've had a couple of fans come out and bring some toys. So whatever you can, donate, unwrap toy, we appreciate it. All right. Let's get back to the conversation on the 40 acres, the hot topic, I should say, on the 40 acres, which is Gary Patterson. And I heard my man Jeff Howe on Light the Tower early this morning and did a great job with Craig Way from 10 to 12. As a matter of fact, they were out here, too. And he talked about, you know, some sources that he had spoke to said that initially there wasn't really any substance to the Gary Patterson stuff, that it was mostly just rumor and conjecture. But that now his sources are telling him that GP and CDC have spoken. There has been a Gary Patterson, Chris Del Conte conversation.
There's obviously that previous relationship.
And they have a previous relationship, of course. Gary Patterson and Sark, also my man Jeff Howe threw out that Gary Patterson and Sark don't know each other. And, you know, they probably could expedite this process if they knew each other. Know each other, and Sark, of course, is really busy on the recruiting trail right now.
As he should be,
right? So it's kind of hard to get those guys to link up, but behind the scenes, CDC and Gary Patterson, there is mutual interest on both sides. We just don't know how much interest, and we don't know what role he would play here at Texas either. I know Inside Texas was out there. They're reporting that he's being offered anything from analyst if he wants it to head coach of the defense, if he wants it. Heard my man Trey say that on Shirts and Skins earlier today.
Head coach of the defense.
Whatever. I don't know.
So is that above defensive coordinator?
Supreme chancellor of the defense. Whatever.
Supreme chancellor.
Whatever he wants. That wouldn't give him, you know, the keys to the kingdom, if you will. We do know there are a lot of connections, though. There's a lot of connective tissue with Gary Patterson and Texas, not only because of CDC, but also his wife.
Texas grad,
right? She was a Texas Angel at one point. So her and not only Chris Del Conte knowing Gary Patterson, of course, from their time at TCU, but Delos Dodds and Gary Patterson's wife reportedly are really close. Like, their families are really close.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, apparently that's also something that it kind of can ties, you know, Gary Patterson to Texas. So that's something else that's been thrown out there. I read Mac Engel's piece. Yep. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram, he did a really good job. And, of course, he's been covering Gary Patterson and TCU for a while. He says, according to sources, Texas and Gary Patterson have talked, according to his sources. And one source close to Patterson said that he is not planning to make a fast decision and will weigh his options. For the last few years, it says, Patterson has told friends that whenever he left TCU, he envisioned a scenario where he could join a coaching staff in this role or potentially as a defensive coordinator. Not the headaches of being a head coach, but still being around the game kind of thing. Also, Texas has competition. There are other schools that are also lobbying for Gary Patterson's services.
And could be – the OU thing could be interesting.
Exactly. One potential scenario, Mac Engel says, could have Patterson joining Bob Stoops at Oklahoma because they have a pre-existing relationship from back in the day as well. And apparently Patterson and Stoops are good friends.
And so that would be under the condition of, and I've heard this a little bit, I don't know how much truth there is to it, but possibility of Oklahoma keeping Stoops on for a year or two and then, I guess, trying to go get their guy.
Yeah. So there Texas has as good a shot as anyone, but We don't know what role. I mean, what do you think? And what role do you – would if you were making the decision right now with what you've observed for this Texas defense and what it needs and Gary Patterson's resume, what role would you put Gary Patterson in to help Texas?
Analyst.
Okay.
But here's the other thing. Gary Patterson's defense is – we talk about how only the tech world changes quicker than schemes in football.
I agree with that.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean, to
fast.
Where it's
you're right.
You were writing code two years ago. That's probably outdated. It was probably outdated a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. It goes really quickly. I'm not saying Gary Patterson doesn't know defense, because he does, but I would put him in that role and allow him to tell you both offensively and defensively what he would do against you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I've been saying for a while, you just need someone to come in and maybe just kind of reverse engineer the defense and be able to kind of tell you why the coverages are not coordinated correctly with the pressures and with the front. Because that's one of the big – there's a disconnect in that defense. And I'm with you. I'd want them working counter intel. I'd want them, you know, trying to break down the Texas offense and – try to help Sark with his battle of adjustments, which he has lost in most of the games.
Yeah.
He's going up against high-quality coaches.
That's a good point.
So, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, the analyst – now, this is the question I don't know
what
the answer
to.
What
would you do? Would you do analyst?
I don't know if it keeps you – I don't know if the analyst role relegates you to a certain pay scale. I don't know if it says, like, analysts have to make a certain amount.
Right.
I don't know that. I don't know if you – can you pay an analyst – you know, whatever you want to, or does an analyst have to make a certain amount, and after that they become something else?
Mm-hmm.
So I would almost not want him to be pigeonholed into just being an analyst. So I might want to make up a role for him. I almost call him a consultant or something, and I'd bring him into a different capacity.
How about Minister of Defense?
But you know what I'm saying, though? I want to think outside the box because
your office is going to be right next to McConaughey.
Right, because analysts, you know the analysts can't coach the kids.
Right.
Right, because they have definition. There's a certain, you know, definition of what an analyst is. Like the NCAA has defined it. And I don't know if I necessarily want him defined in his role here.
I see what you're saying.
By that. So maybe I can bring him in some other capacity where he would have more freedom. To work within the, you know, to work with different, I don't know, with the offense, with the defense, like you said, in a different manner.
Yeah, they may have a spot opening up too, because I'm not sure. We'll see if Terry Joseph joins.
It's also something to
Brian Kelly in Louisiana, and that I'd have no problem if that happened.
Yeah, I mean, he could coach, he could coordinate the back end, he give you a pass game coordinator.
Pass game coordinator, yeah,
that's what Terry Joseph is. And I guess coach the DBs with Blake Gideon.
With Blake Gideon is coaching the safeties.
You can do that. Yeah. Or you can – I mean, some people have complained about the linebacker play. If you want to put him as a linebacker coach.
They'd be right.
Right? And I don't know if you – I mean, I'm just, if Terry Joseph stayed.
Right.
I'm with you. If Terry Joseph leaves, it's even easier.
It makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll keep an eye on that, obviously, as Texas is looking, just trying to improve this program any way they can. They're also going to try number one way to improve it is to get better players and to do that in the transfer portal. Rod, this is going to be crazy. I was reading some stuff last night,
man,
about just the expected numbers of the numbers that already have hit the portal, but then the expectations. This is going to blow away anything we've ever seen.
Yeah, no, it's I think the number right now is easily close to
three times.
It's like 1,400 or something. Like usually around this time, usually I think the highest number is around 600 or 500 different players in the portal. So it's going to be unprecedented. There's no question. But it's all about quality in the portal, right? Can you get the quality of guys you want in the portal? And Pro Football Focus actually did a ranking of all the players in the portal, their top players, and they have Spencer Rattler as their top player in the portal, followed by Eli Ricks, the cornerback from LSU. I don't even know. Man, if I'm LSU, I got to stop that from happening. If you're Brian Kelly, don't you got to re-recruit him? I mean, Corey Raymond is still there.
Yeah.
Reportedly.
I would give him your best Southern accent and see what happens.
Well done. They have Dylan.
We'll get into that at the record.
They have the quarterback, Dylan Gabriel, on here, too. Remember,
UCF.
He's transferring from UCF as the number three player they have ranked in the portal. Zach Evans from TCU, the running back, who's a fantastic player. He's also in the portal. They have him as the fourth best running player in the portal. And then they have running back Jahmyr Gibbs from Georgia Tech.
Yep.
Also. And this is recent.
I wouldn't go after a running back. I think you're okay.
I wouldn't.
There.
But there are three quarterbacks. I mean, Jay Kaner, the Fresno State quarterback.
Right. I wonder if he's going to follow his coach to UW.
He could. I mean, that's
but I like him. I would look at that.
Yeah. I mean, he's got good numbers this year.
No, he'd be an upgrade.
He's an upgrade. So, I mean, they got Miles Brennan. I don't know if that excites you. Transferring from LSU.
Nothing for me.
Yeah, they have Austin Stogner in the top 10.
That
they have
does
Austin
something for
Stogner
me.
Really high. They have those receivers from Oklahoma. I mean, they have those guys ranked in like the 20s.
In Hazelwood?
Yeah. And they have Stogner in the top 10. Weird.
That is weird. Stogner's a big ass dude. He's like 6'7". He looks like a tight end.
I like him.
They just hadn't been getting him the ball nearly as much this year as they did last year.
They have Hazelwood, Theo Weiss, and Marvin Mims all ranked 28th or lower.
Of all those guys, is Mims the one you want? Because he's so explosive. The other guys are a little bit bigger. Theo Weiss, I want to say, is like 6'3".
I think you're right. Theo Weiss is a little bit bigger. I'll take any of them.
I will too.
I mean, I'm not. Beggars can't
all
be
four of those guys. All three of the receivers and their tight end. Guys.
Yeah, I take that. I take Stogner too.
And honestly, I'd take Spencer Rattler as well.
All those guys could end up starting here in Texas.
I hear some Texas fans that don't want Rattler just maybe because of the attitude, and I can understand that.
I get that.
And that's also why I wouldn't take Zach Evans. Is that I wouldn't want to deal with that, knowing this is the one position group that we're probably okay, and we got to fill so many other things.
You know, speaking of, I'll give my man Chip Brown some credit because I read it at his insider piece. He threw out there that Sark does plan to bring in a JUCO transfer quarterback at one point. He said in his piece, according to team
sources, which is what he was,
Sarkisian. Not JUCO, sorry, transfer portal.
Okay.
I apologize, sorry, JUCO. Transfer portal. It may be a JUCO, I don't know.
Could be.
But I said, according to team sources, Sarkisian's plan coming into the week was to bring in a veteran quarterback from the portal to provide competition and depth for returning quarterbacks Casey Thompson and Hudson Card, as well as two high school recruits. So that's my man Chip Brown's reporting.
Okay.
He said they, of course, Malik Murphy is one of the recruits that's coming in that 22 class. They wanted Devin Brown, who decided to stay on the West Coast, I believe, Devin Brown.
Devin Brown was
right. He was like number
USC,
five ranked
and now
quarterback.
And now I think he committed to Ohio State.
I think you're – oh, he did.
He just flipped because of the move.
Right. Yeah, so they wanted him, but that's not happening. So I think he's going to find –
Lincoln wants Malachi.
So he's looking for a transfer portal quarterback if you're listening to Chip Brown's report. And he's looking for another quarterback in the recruiting.
Look, there's never been better timing for Texas. I don't mean the – S show that was the program and team this year. I mean, because of that S show and because of Sark, it's pretty obvious he understands he's got to turn this roster over now. I think it took a little while, but he understands that.
Yeah.
Never been a better time to have to do that, Rod. It's never been like this where it's that easy to just bring someone in right away, don't have to sit out a year, and you can come in and play. You better evaluate well, you better sell, and you better get after it.
Marcus Tillman. Also entering the transfer portal.
Okay.
That was my man Jeff Howe reported that today at Owens 24/7. So that means you got Dele Adeoye, Marcus Tillman hit the transfer portal. They recently had someone else in the transfer portal.
Yeah, I would expect you're going to see a lot more.
Yeah. No, you're right. I think you've had three now. Avante Woodard. So you've had three since they've had the discussions, I'm doing air quotes here, with the players. And Kai Money retired.
I saw that.
Kai Money retired. We didn't mention that.
Shout out,
Kai Money.
Shout out to the island.
Money, my man.
Only SBI guy ever.
Yeah, so I know discussions, I think, are very
I'll buy you a drink at Blackbeard's, buddy.
Yeah, no, but Kai Money had he said he exceeded his own expectations.
Yeah.
So good for Kai Money.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I was actually a little surprised with Sark's offense that he didn't use him as his Drake Stoops.
I thought,
and by that I mean a small white guy.
Well, when you have the injuries, I was like, "Oh,
you know what I mean?" Just your slot guy.
When he couldn't see the field when Joshua Moore transferred, and then you had all the injuries, I said, "No, they don't like Kai Money."
Right.
Tom Herman liked Kai Money,
and
he was a Kai Money fan.
And Avante Woodard is a huge bust.
Yeah, I'm a DB high guy, so usually I'll try to have his back, but yeah, I mean, it didn't work out here. Hopefully, it can work out somewhere else.
We'll see.
Yeah,
but that's the whole thing. If you couldn't get on the field with this team, that's why I totally got Dele Adeoye.
It's a great point.
It's like if I couldn't break this roster,
y'all never gonna let me play.
You're never gonna let
me play. Never gonna let me play.
And it's probably me.
No, I agree with that. Well, I need to go somewhere else then, and with a fresh start, because I'm with you with the talent deficiencies at certain positions. Mm-hmm. You should have been able to earn your way on the field. All right, we'll come back. We're live out here at Total Men's Primary Care, 620 in Anderson Mill. Come out here and join us. We'll get back to some Longhorn football conversation. Remember, Toys for Tots, you can donate an unwrapped toy to their Toys for Tots at all of their Total Men's Primary Care locations all around Central Texas. That'll be until December 12th, so do something good for the kiddos. All right, we'll come back. We'll discuss some more Texas football news, notes and nuggets, also get back to the NFL, all of that and more right here on RBKD, right here on 104.9, 101.9 and AM 1260.
Mr. Bojangles. Mr. Bojangles. Mr. Bojangles.
Dance. Thank you, John. Country Music Friday.
What is this?
Come on.
I don't know who this is.
Jerry Jeff.
Oh, sorry.
Mr. Bojangles.
Man, I'm sorry.
This is a great song.
I don't mean to disrespect the man. I apologize.
I told you. I've been trying to get you.
I heard you were, and I didn't know it. You were like, are you serious? And I'm like, oh, man.
I know.
I should have known that.
Why do we do that as humans?
That's all right. It's human nature. Well, and you've been talking about you've been on a Jerry Jeff kick for a minute now.
I really have.
Yeah. So
I was listening to some Jerry Jeff last night.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that's why I should have known.
Yes, and that's why I was hurt.
We've been talking about this for like a month.
Because essentially we're a couple.
Well, we are.
You know what I mean?
Together.
It's one of those. Yeah, right. It's I've been talking about this.
It's like, what am I thinking? No, yeah. Sometimes my wife will ask me that. It is the scariest damn thing
I'm
in the world.
I'm not going to ask you that.
She was like,
women will ask you that.
And I'm like, and sometimes the crazy thing, I know.
Right.
Like more than half the time.
Yeah. I think it was Seinfeld.
Half the time I know, I'm like, damn it, this is crazy.
Someone did the someone did a bit that was just talking about how women will ask you, what are you thinking about?
That sucks.
And you'll say nothing.
Yeah.
And they'll like, no, you're thinking about something. And a lot of the time for us guys, no, we're actually thinking about nothing.
No, we're thinking about nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing at all. Or nothing you want to be concerned with.
Right.
It's
it would be so stupid.
It's like an old-time sports debate or something.
Right.
You know, it's
so
something.
What were you what are you thinking about? I was thinking about the cornerback play, actually. I didn't think that you really
I was thinking about how PK, when he was at Washington, he seemed to always have creative ways to coordinate the front with the coverage. And here at Texas, he seems to have lost all of his creativity. Maybe it's Jimmy Lake. She don't want to hear that.
She don't want to hear that. She doesn't want to know how often you're thinking about that, too.
But half the time, it's just food. My wife's like, what am I thinking about? I'm like, you're hungry.
Oh, for me, that's what it is.
She's like, you know. And I'm like, yeah, because you're always hungry. She's hungry. That's what I know.
You don't tell her she's always hungry.
No, I don't say that. Okay, no, hell good. No. She might be listening right now, so shut up.
Yeah, just shut up. let's get back to sports. This is what we're thinking about. So, hey, I've been wondering about this. I mean, the coaching carousel has been nuts. Miami, they have a new AD. And actually, they don't have an AD yet. They're still looking for an AD. But apparently, they're going to really pursue Mario Cristobal as their next head coach.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Oh, so you think you can outbid Phil Knight, one of the best, biggest sugar daddies in college sports?
Who only has so many years left and wants to get a natty.
That's going to be tough.
I will say this, though.
No.
NIL changes everything, doesn't it?
It does. And, okay, so we are in a new landscape, right, where – blue blood status does not matter in terms of retaining your top coach, right? We just saw Oklahoma lose theirs. We saw it happen in Notre Dame. Have happened in Notre Dame since when? 1908 or something like that. Been the 40s, I think,
Oklahoma for 40s.
Yeah. So if that is the case, if you're Phil Knight and you know your sugar daddy status in the name, image, and likeness era, you are a Nike, do you want to upgrade? Do you think you can upgrade over Cristobal? Do you think you can go out there and go snag you? A big-time coach, you go, you know what, I'll pay you. I'll pay you $12 to $15 million, and you got Nike. I'll give you Nike. In name, image, and likeness era, you'll have Nike behind you.
Oregon has a different attractiveness to
to
that job.
Because of
all that going together. That's interesting. I think because of the problems they had with Helfrich, obviously, which was not the right hire. He was the OC for Kelly. Once Kelly leaves the Eagles, like, we're just going to promote you. And that worked actually for a couple years. But then the Taggart, and who else am I missing
here? Disaster.
It was Taggart. I thought it was someone else. But,
it
was just kind of a disaster.
No, you're right.
And definitely Taggart was. Yeah. And then they find Cristobal, and it works. I'm not sure they would gamble there.
No,
but
it's
an interesting question on your part.
I'm just saying, if he wants to leave, Phil Knight, in this day and age, let's say Cristobal does, because I know he loves Miami, right? That's where he played, right, Miami?
Right. Yeah. So, it was offensive line.
And I know that Miami screwed up because I believe that he wanted that job when he gave it to Diaz.
He did.
And then they decided to go with Diaz. So if he leaves just because he wants to be in Miami, great. Phil Knight and Oregon could be a monster in the neighborhood like this area. And they can steal. I mean, they can go in and steal a big time coach from somebody. They can be one of those types of teams.
So, yep, Manny Diaz. We kind of knew that was not going to happen. But Manny Diaz is still the coach. They haven't fired him yet, and they don't have an AD. So the fact that Miami, this is a very, very Miami move. We don't have an AD. We still have a coach, but we're actually hunting for another one right now.
Yeah, he's not going to. I mean, he knows.
He's not lasting.
His days are numbered.
He is not lasting. Hey, get on out here. We're at Total Men's Primary Care. We're at Anderson Mill and 620. We're doing Toys for Tots. New toys, unwrapped toys. Stop by and help out the community a little bit. I always love doing this every year.
It's nice.
And we all have different things that kind of hit our heart. That could get me to cry right now, thinking about kids and having nothing on Christmas. And obviously, if you have nothing on Christmas, you probably have a pretty rough year all the way through. Give these kids one day. Give this family one day where maybe they can just not think about that and have a little bit of fun.
Yeah, it's a time of year, so, you know, you think about others.
Got to think about others.
And I agree. I mean, it's one of those things, and Austin is such a great community when it comes to charity. I mean, we have been a part of several initiatives here at the station, ARN, working with the Central Texas Food Bank. Mm-hmm.
Salvation Army,
and we're always blown away.
Really am.
And I guess it's our fault, because maybe we underestimate the kindness of all of our listeners. And just
I try not to. I'm from here, man. I'm a unicorn.
You should
know. And I've seen it my whole life, and I still will put the expectations high, but it seems like every time we throw something out there, they blow that away.
They do. So that's why we all love this place, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's got a soul to it.
It does.
It's got a soul to it. Even though it's a big city now, we get it.
It's changed, but it's still kept a lot of that soul. So let's keep that soul. Get on by here with a new toy, and just get on by here anyway, because Total Men's Primary Care is a perfect
spot. Maybe a COVID
spot.
Test like Trey.
Yeah,
got a COVID
because he's going
he
to see Bob Saget.
Yeah, he was. So he got the COVID test.
So yeah,
it took like I think he said literally took like 90 seconds from him in and out.
Oh, it's so quick. I took mine. Not
I
at this
one here,
but
yeah.
I took a Total Men's,
I did
and
too.
I was in, I was out. That was the one where BK was being a little baby and saying, "Man, I didn't it tickled my nose."
Oh
I'm
yeah,
like,
he's
that
the one
was
that said
so
he was crying doing it.
So easy.
Yeah. See, it didn't make me cry. It was easy.
No,
I would say it's all about how aggressive the person is too. Some people shove it up in there pretty.
I asked for
pretty
that.
Pretty deep. You wanted a deep shove?
I wanted it aggressive. She said, "Do you want it aggressive?" And I go, "Yeah." No, I'm kidding. They don't do that here. They're incredibly professional. We'll shut up. We'll go to break. We're 1 hour in. We've got about an hour and a half left. We got Texas basketball pregame coming up at 5:30. It's the All-American Rod Babers. I'm Kevin Dunn. We got Demetrius Harper. We got Derek Cohen. And we got John Reichel, who's back at the studio. We appreciate everyone listening. We'll get back into it coming up next, including this weekend, college football, NFL, Supreme Lending picks. We got to finish strong, brother. This is RBKD. We're at Total Men's Primary Care, 620 in Anderson Mill. Get on out here, bring a new toy that is unwrapped, and get on out here and come see them. Maybe it's a checkup or maybe it is a COVID test. All you got to do is get on out here. All right, it's RBKD on the horn.